Praise be Jesus and Mary. The question of fasting arises today in the gospel. When people started actually talking and asking our Lord why his disciples weren't fasting, while the disciples of John the Baptist and the Pharisees were. The question is actually tied to the part of St. Mark's gospel which immediately precedes this passage, and which speaks of our Lord eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners in the house of St. Matthew, called Levi or Levi. Most likely, the voices from the grapevine in that day were actually saying that Jesus' spirituality was relaxed, that it wasn't quote-unquote serious like the other spiritual people in Israel at that time. So what we have in the gospel today, among other things, is an example of what we call rash judgment. The New Catholic Encyclopedia says that rash judgment is this. It says it's an act of the mind that, on the basis of insufficient evidence, attributes something morally discreditable to another person or denies something morally credible to them. So the Encyclopedia then adds this: rash judgment that goes so far as to judge not merely exterior actions, but interior culpability is offensive to God, because it usurps his exclusive right to judge the hearts of men. So basically, with rash judgment, you see someone do or not do something, or you hear them say something which you misunderstand, and you attribute this to them as sinful or as a moral flaw without really knowing all the facts. And then if you start telling this to other people, that actually is another sin. It's called detraction. Detraction is a derogatory or damaging comment on a person's character or their reputation. And if what you're saying is false, well, then that's actually another sin. It's called slander or defamation. In that case, not only are you violating the eighth commandment, which is you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, but you're also killing a person's reputation. And so in a certain sense, you're even violating the fifth commandment. You shall not kill. And actually, the rash judgments and slander that were made against our Lord really did lead to his killing. It led to his crucifixion and his death. Our Lord's rivals went from killing him in their thoughts with rash judgments to killing him in their words, calling him a glutton and a blasphemer in the gospel, to killing him physically on Calvary. In a homily at St. Martha's in Rome in April of 2013, Pope Francis said this. He said, "Wherever there is slander, there is Satan, Satan himself." And then in an interview in 2016, he gave to a Swedish newspaper, he added this: "We all have in us the capacity to smear other people's character. It's a vice that can only be eradicated through a deep change of mind, through a conversion," the Pope says. So it's sad how in our Lord's time, those who were worried about fasting and observing the Mosaic law, well, many of them were at the same time not worried about making rash judgments about detraction, slander, or defamation. And it's sadder even still that today, especially on social media, but also in everyday, day-to-day conversations, many people who call or consider themselves Catholics make statements or affirmations or comments on different websites which are full of rash judgments, uncharitable criticisms, detraction, and even slander regarding people. And we remember, of course, what St. James tells us in his letter in the New Testament. St. James says this: "If anyone thinks himself to be religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, that man's religion is worthless," St. James says, James 1:26. Even today's responsorial psalm, taken from Psalm 50, rebukes those who profess to be believers but don't manifest that faith in their lives. In the psalm, our Lord asks these questions: "Why do you recite my statutes and profess my covenant with your mouth, though in truth you hate discipline and cast my words behind you?" And then he asks, "When you do these things, shall I be deaf to it? Or do you think that I am like you?" our Lord asks. Do you think that I'm a hypocrite like you? Is basically what our Lord is asking to those who profess to know and love God, but who, shall we say, have a hard time convincing God of this, and have a hard time convincing others as well that they love God, because their thoughtless or sinful actions and discourses speak louder than their profession of faith. All sin, of course, can be summed up in one word, which is disobedience. And that's the sin which God, through the mouth of the prophet Samuel, accuses and accused King Saul of in the first reading. The Lord had told Saul to exterminate the Amalekites, and Saul didn't obey. Not only that, but because of avarice, he hoarded the spoils of war, and then he arrogantly protested to Samuel that he actually had carried out God's command and that he wanted to offer the spoil to God as a sacrifice, which was just, of course, an excuse to cover up his sin. Now, if I had more time and perhaps a little more preparation, I could explain how the commandment of God to exterminate the Amalekites was not unjust, because nothing which God commands is unjust. But the moral of the episode that's presented to us in the first reading is actually summed up in Samuel's response to Saul when he says this, quote, "Obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission than the fat of rams. Because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he too has rejected you as leader." 1 Samuel 15:22-23. So I'll just close this reflection by tying in the first reading with what we spoke of in the gospel about fasting. And the connection is this, that those who, quote-unquote, major in the minors, for example, those who put a high importance on fasting and on scrupulously observing laws of secondary importance, like the scribes and the Pharisees, well, oftentimes these are the same people who, as our Lord says in the gospel, strain out a gnat and swallow a camel, Matthew 23:24. Oftentimes they're the same people who disobey God in the more important things in life. This is a spiritual disease, of course, which can affect all of us, not only the laity at times, but unfortunately it's present in a number of priests and religious, especially those who are very strict in holding to and observing a certain way of life and certain practices, but who refuse to obey their superiors. These are the types of religious whom God rejects as leaders of his people, as God rejected Saul in the Old Testament, and as God rejects those who fast and make long prayers, as the scribes and Pharisees of old, but who slander and defame other people at the same time. Obedience is better than sacrifice, says the Lord. Rather, obedience is the true sacrifice for one who strives to be conformed to the image of Christ, who was, as St. Paul tells us, obedient unto death, even death on a cross, Philippians 2:8. So may God and may Our Lady preserve us from this duplicity and hypocrisy which characterize the scribes and the Pharisees, and even those who call themselves Catholics or Christians, but whose words and actions are anything but pleasing to our Lord and to our Lady. Praise be Jesus and Mary.